Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another reality show. And check it out. Tonight is my birthday. It is so much fun to have a radio show come on when it's your birthday because it's like having this audio archive of the day. I am totally stoked. I have an amazing lineup tonight. Robin Marvel, the marvelous empowerment of Robin Marvel is with us. We're going to be talking about children and life and encouragement and uplifting and just all the things that really make you smile for the first hour. And the second hour, an amazing guest, which Robin is actually going to stick around. She promised me she'd stick around because I can't let go of Robin. When she's here, I like hanging on to her. She's going to stick around for the second hour for Karen Anderson, who is an amazing animal communicator. And we're going to be taking calls the whole 2 hours. But if you want to have a mini reading with Karen from the animal perspective, the animal point of view in your life, you can call in the second hour. Now, just so you know, Karen is a very deep reader. And she's not interested in questions like what is Fifi's favorite toy and, what is my cat or dog peeing, things of that nature. Spiritual questions is what she's looking for. What is the spiritual purpose of these animals being in our lives? What is a spiritual message? Things of depth. Has this animal been with me, several lifetimes? Things of that nature. And I honor and respect Karen for that because my show, I like to keep it deep down the rabbit hole, so I honor that she kind of plays with me down in that deep rabbit hole. Okay, so that's the second hour. But right now, we have Robin Marvel with us. Welcome to the show, Robin.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you, girl. I'm going to have you on a platter with cake.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's just kind of the energy the way it is today.
Yeah.
It's going to be cake involved.
Oh, I'm all about the cake. My favorite is cake. So, see, I'm good.
There you go. So, we can eat cake together.
Totally.
Totally.
Yeah. Yep.
So, how are you? How was your day? I had such a good time on your show on Tuesday, by the way. You're a great host.
Thank you.
You are. You made me feel wonderful, so I appreciate it.
Good. I love doing it. It was really fun. I'm meeting so many awesome people and having so much fun doing it that it's just like, I don't know, I just really like it, and I love all the people that I'm being able to share with the world and that people can learn from, and, the Key to Purpose giveaway is going good, so it's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Awesome. Yeah. Yes, I'm very excited. I won one of the Key to Purpose giveaway, the book on the holistic, the 400 different modalities of holistic modalities.
Yeah. And wait till you get that.
I really am excited. And I have a friend of mine who has a bad knee turned into a bad back. And to be honest, we already made an appointment for him to get Rolfed. And we're just going to look into it because he listened to the show and he doesn't like needles, but he likes, clearly desires, his health to come back significantly. So we're excited about it. Was your show that brought us that information. I'll keep you updated personally on what's happening from that. So
definitely. Awesome.
Yeah.
So what have you did today for your birthday? Since I know I'm not interviewing you, but still.
No, interview me. I interview you. It's all good. Thank you for asking that because today I am starting a 60-60-60 process, which is I'm going to do 60 alchemical wheels, and within that alchemical wheel I'm going to do 60 Key Vesta card spreads in 60 days. And it's a very interesting process for me because as soon as I spoke to a good friend of mine about doing this, it was really clear to him that I was lighting up talking about it. He was lighting up hearing about it. And in a matter of 3 hours, I called him up and said, okay, after I expressed to him that I was going to do this and that I was going to do it on Facebook to invite others to be part of it because I can put people's names in, and by putting their name with the intention of their essence, they will actually experience the wheel no matter where they are in the world and no matter what they're doing. But a couple of hours after I initially expressed this, I went into this total place of fear that, okay, if I post it on Facebook, you know, what if I don't complete it? I'm going to make an ass out of myself. And it just became this, like, spiral of all of a sudden I didn't want to do it and I was making excuses for myself. And he really quite brilliantly reconnected me to the light that got me so excited. And, you know, he was like, you know, he mostly helped me remember that, you know, most of the people, if not all of the people I'm connected to on Facebook, are really loving, heartfelt human beings.
Oh, definitely.
That nobody, in the sense, nobody cares in this, that they're going to beat me up if I don't make the 60 days. And it's really more about, you know, don't focus on the steps you need to get there. Just see the conclusion and allow every day to that whatever needs to be done that day will get done to get the conclusion, which is really a great way to break down any big project when it becomes a little overwhelming, especially from the point of view is if you're lit up about the idea of doing it, which
That's
I was
right.
so clearly lit up about doing wheels, having people be, you know, a part of it, you know, by through their essence being put in. And then what I'm hoping is I created a video today, which is also a first for me, and posted a video of the cards that I was using in the Key Vesta. And because my whole goal is that the people that are, which, by the way, of course, you know, you're also in it, the
right.
people that are experiencing it from the essence point of view, I'm hoping that whatever day, you know, it happens to pick their fancy, that they share their experiences every day, because every day I'll post a video saying the qualities that I pulled in the spread and, you know, what was going on, because the Key Vesta cards, interestingly enough, it's done in a layout similar to, like, the Tarot cards are done, but
okay.
where the Tarot cards kind of tell you your future, the Key Vesta cards manifest your now.
Oh, very cool.
Yes, now, so it's really powerful experiences. And, you know, I mean, here, I'll read you just a couple. Here are a couple of the cards. These were the three cards that came up. And what they do is there's a focus of the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual. The physical focus of today's spread, were it is yourself that you see, living beyond boundaries, and you are affecting your environment.
Okay.
So those were the three physical attributes. And what's interesting is, you know, as I'm doing these wheels, it's actually day three that I'm doing the wheels, but I'm going to start today as 60. And by the way, I'm going to count down from 60 because I realized from a mental point of view, if I do this process and I do it as a counting down, it feels like the more I do it, the closer I get to my completion, as opposed to if I'm counting up. For some reason, it feels like I'm going uphill, and counting down feels like I'm going downhill. And just from a gravity levitation point of view, it's easier for me to glide down than it is for me to climb up.
That's right. Well, that's anybody. Yeah, that's very true. Good.
Yeah, so that hit me in the wheel, actually. There was like, don't call this wheel number one, call this wheel number 60.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a you know,
yeah. So
definitely.
And I, to be honest, there's massive. I mean, releasing the ties of love, which you have to understand when I'm doing this work, these are when it says releasing the ties of love. This is releasing all love that is not unconditional, which is in our culture, in most levels of awareness, consciousness, love is very much about, you know, I love you if. Or I'll be
right.
happy
yeah.
when. So it's very important when you hear the videos and the qualities that I'm bringing out, not to look at, I'm not releasing love and going demonic. It's really about releasing that which is the illusion of love, which is all the conditions that most people place on love.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and there are so many conditions placed on it from such an early age. It's just like with your kids, you know, you parents are so quick to place, like you had said, place limitations on their love, and they might not even realize they're doing it, you know. But they basically teach the children that behavior, and praise them if they're really good. But when they're bad, they're like, oh, you know, they're on them and they're not. I'm not saying not discipline and have structure, but they're just it's like they build them up when they're good, but if they're having an off day, instead of saying, yeah, honey, I understand that you're upset today and you're having a little bit of an off day, and that's okay. It's okay to be that way, and I still love you unconditionally, and you're perfect just
Absolutely.
Like that. We all have bad days, and I do that with my girls. You know, they're having bad days, and I'll just say, you know what, I understand. I love you. You're driving me nuts. No, I'm just kidding. You know, but I...
Well, I would hope that they're driving you nuts because they have the energy of, you know, Spitfires, and we tend to have the energy more of dump trucks. You know,
yeah.
And that's just... So, because one of the things I definitely notice, and I love that we always tend to bring this up, you know, in conversation, is that, you know, good behavior, bad behavior, most kids are praised for seduced behavior. In
yeah.
other words, as long as you're saying nothing and you're not acting, you know, out in any way, I mean, you're not creative, but you're not destructive. I mean, most parents really congratulate what's it called when you're just like you're drugged out? What is, you know, when you're like comatose?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah, just kind of like I can't think of it either, but I know exactly what you're saying.
Think of the word.
Yeah,
it's very submissive.
Submissive. At the same time.
You know, and I'm not saying, you know, I get it that when you're, because what I tell the mom that I work with all the time, because she's like, you know, I come home and as soon as I walk through the door, their garage door leads into the kitchen. So a lot of times that's where we are because I'm making dinner and things of that nature. And she's like, I come home and they're screaming and, you know, I don't know what to do. And she's like, so she'll often be like, you know, girl, stop yelling. But the sisters haven't seen each other all day. And I'm always saying, you know, why don't you, go upstairs. Feel free to go upstairs. I'll take 10, 15 minutes. You, in other words, you put yourself in the silence. The girls are 5 and 2. There's nothing more they want to do than scream and jump up and down because they haven't seen each other all day.
Right.
And we should
encourage
that.
That.
They love each
yeah.
other.
Yeah,
they're firecrackers, and you know we're still dragging up the hill from the 10 pounds of brick that we just came from our jobs, and not myself, but... She's corporate, definitely her.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like go decompress without making it, not in the kitchen. Go decompress in a space that you feel comfortable decompressing in.
Yeah, it's
you
it's
know?
True. And kids are rambunctious and they are totally perfection. And as soon as you can see that in not just your children but all children, it makes it so much easier. And I'm not saying I don't have days where I'm like, oh, I'm so tired and I just want to relax. And, you know, but that's when you say, you know, when I say kids go play for just an hour, just give mom a little bit of time, close my office door,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and I have that. But I'm telling you the amazement of children. And, of course, I'm talking about my own because they're who I deal with every single day just blows my mind. My youngest daughter, Camden, she's 3, and she has not grown out of the stage where she wants me to lay with her when she goes to sleep. I don't have
well,
to
that's
go.
That's an awesome part, though. I love snuggling.
Yeah,
and
you know, and everyone's like, so many people are like, well, you need a breaker of that, and she shouldn't be doing that. And I'm just like, you know what? I love it. And this week she's had a cough and a cold, and I've had to rock her at night and hold her. And I can honestly tell you when I'm sitting there holding her, I'm thinking, I love this moment. Thank you for this moment. I'm not thankful that she's sick, but I'm thankful that I get to hold her because before you know it, she's going to be an adult, and I'm not going to get that time. And
yeah.
I just appreciate it.
Yeah, it'll morph out of that,
it.
Which is –
Indeed. Yeah.
And you know what I tell my parents all the time, you know, life is about stages. It's not just about the children that change in stages. Parenting also has to reflect that change. Because
yeah.
clearly the amount of attention a child needs as an infant is going to shift when they're a teenager. They don't need
yeah.
food to be brought to them. They don't need their hand held when they're crossing the street. They still need attention, but it has to be balanced with freedom because that's the nature of where they're at. They're at a space where their body is changing. It's turning on spiritually, electrically, hormonally, you know, always. And
yeah.
so I tell them it's not, you know, because the parents will always comment on the child's behavior shifting, and I look at the parent and go, well, has your behavior shifted as well? Because that's nature. It's not
yep.
just one side has to shift. It has to be in balance to shift because that's when it'll feel good.
Yes.
But
yes,
most parents
true.
Don't want to give up that control that they had at, from infants, toddlers, and young children because, you know, in
well,
our
all,
culture, we tend to really value control.
It's true, and it's funny because on my Facebook today, I posted something about that, and on the Marvelous Empowerment fan page in regards to when you being a good leader means not making yourself more powerful but making the people around you powerful. And I said, use that in your parenting because it's so true. You know, as parents, it's always, you know, I watch this in my own family with my sisters, with their kids. They're very dominant, very, I'm the parent, and I said it, and that's why. There's no reason why, you know, talk when you're spoken to, period. And, I mean, they're really mean. And so I think that in the sense of being a leader in your family, because, you know, a lot of times the parents are obviously the leaders, which is great, but you have to realize that you have to build your children up to become these empowered, beautiful, great human beings instead of being Miss Dominant and or Mr. Dominant and not reasoning with them. You know, if it's time for them to do something, this is why we do it. You know, and I make sure that I do that with my own kids, and I recommend that to every parent that ever, or anyone who deals with children at all, don't ever say, because I said so. Because
no.
That's not a reason. That's not a reason. Who are you?
That's a control, not a reason.
And just because you birthed these children or because you're in the lead, you know, the dominant role, doesn't mean you have to treat them like they're any less, because they're not. And you're
indeed.
Missing so much when you're doing that.
Oh, indeed. I agree totally.
Yeah,
you know,
so
I don't know if it's just the Aborigines and the Native American, but they say we don't own our children; we're just stewarding
right.
them.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I, of course, it's quite. You know, everybody always says, "Oh, Goldie, it's easy for you to say you're a nanny," and I do understand from a lack of experience, meaning because I don't have my own children, I do understand that it is a different scenario, clearly. But on some levels, you know, just like every scenario in life, there's always a teacher and always a student. I do believe on some levels, parents can learn from the energy of a nanny and a caregiver, because on some level, it's good and it's healthy to not feel like you own your children, but to feel that you steward them. Because the whole saying, a community raises a child, is what that statement and that energy is all about.
Yeah.
You know, allowing others to help raise your child and you know, kind of having a freedom for the child to, if a child naturally gravitates towards, you know, like I've had parents get upset that their children love me because they feel that they love them less. And I'm like, you bring me into the house. I'm with your children for, you know, an extraordinary amount of time during the week. This is when I was doing it full time.
Right.
And you're upset that your children love me. Like, you know, how do you work with that? And most of the time what happens was I would leave those jobs because, listen, this isn't a competition. Who does she love more? This is about, let's just make sure there's love in her life or love in his life.
Right, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Who's never going to be around the kids? So.
Yeah, and it's true. And I think that a lot of some parents just feel threatened by the other
connection,
because there's so much competition and so much, you know, self-doubt already in most people, and fear, and when they see that their kids are taking to another person or another family or feeling more comfortable, you know, it's an insult, which I mean,
right.
I
have
can
you
understand.
Ever had that experience
of I have of other people's children loving our house? Yeah I've had with Emily, her friends coming over, and I've had a couple of the moms where they've stood in my entryway of my house up north and cry and just be like, I don't know why they like it here. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, you know, things like that. But it's so apparent to me what they're doing, how they're limiting this child, and they're trying to mold this child into something else, and they can't just be free. And, you know, you need your kids to be able – kids need to be free. Kids need to know that they're perfect just the way they are, and they don't have to be anything different than what they want to be.
Well, and I think it's already – they already know that. They just – it's really the adults that have to remember that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you're right.
Kids don't judge until they're taught judgment.
That's right.
You know, and I'm, but I'll be honest
that.
With you, I do see, like, I see Anya and her friends, she's five, and, you know, her friends are basically five or six. Definitely a competition already has established between her and her friends.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, wow, kindergarten, they're already saying, you know, well, I do it better. And the other one's like, no, I do it better. And I'm like, you know, because, or Anya will say something to me and always, she'll play something and she'll want to make it a game.
Mm-hmm.
And the game always has a winner and a loser. And what I've been saying to her lately is, if you want to compete, compete against your own best time or your own best ability. I was like, don't compete against me because I don't want to compete against you because I don't want any of us to lose. I just want to have fun doing what we're doing. But if you want to compete against yourself.
Exactly.
That's what I tell her.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, what's funny is that competition is taught from birth. I mean, parents, adults compete, children compete. All you're ever taught from the time you get into public school, probably from the time of a young age, if you're in a big family, there's always competition. And it was so funny because when I married Keith, he has a very large family. He's the last of 8 kids, and they've all got kids, and it's just a huge, massive amount of people. And then my mom, she grew up with 8 brothers and sisters, and we grew up around everybody when we lived in California. Well, I never felt any kind of competition towards my cousins. We were all just best friends. Like we never, at least with me and my perception of what was going on, I didn't ever see the competition. Like they all lived way better than us. I mean, their parents weren't on drugs. Their parents weren't, victims of domestic abuse. None of that went on in their house. But it was never like they treated me like they were better than me or anything. There was never that. So then when I married Keith, his family are very competitive. They're very, if you get a new car, they will trash talk, and then they'll go buy one better. It's just it's their mentality, and
well,
it's never
ending. Keeping up with the Joneses, that is
so
manifestation of it, indeed.
Oh, it's so bad, and they're so mean, they're so vicious, and I never witnessed that. So I was like, whoa, you know. And
well,
like,
you know
oh,
what they say
better.
Though. I'm going to shift the energy for just a moment. Anger is really a mask for fear. You know,
yes.
To be honest, mm-hmm. most competition is based in insecurity.
Yeah,
because
you're right.
When you're content with who you are and what you have, there is no, I need to get better. I mean, the whole machine in America is built on, they don't want us to be satisfied because the machine is, we want you to continue to feed the capitalism of everything. So continue to buy and upgrade, continue to buy and upgrade. And as long as you don't feel satisfied, you will feed that machine. Robin, we got a caller. I'm just,
okay.
I've been telling everybody to just call in and, you know, speak whatever they want to speak. So I'm going to, 203, you're on the air.
Happy birthday.
Happy, is this Marilyn Monroe?
It is. Would you like me to sing for you?
Would you? Would you? That would really work for this birthday archive.
Really? Seriously? You want me to sing
no,
for you?
No, you don't have to. You want me to get.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Miss Golden Hawk. Happy birthday to you.
Woo! Thank you. Thank you, Marilyn.
You're quite welcome.
I appreciate that, though. I do. Thank you very much.
You're such a weirdo.
I am a weirdo, but hey, you know, we're on the air. Everybody's listening, so...
Oh, that's
weirdo.
Right, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's all I wanted. I wanted to wish you happy birthday, so you can put me back
Thank
on hold.
Thank you so much. All right, that is Jules, and you can hear Jules on her radio show, The Solstice Hours, every other Sunday from 3 to 4. Thank you for calling in, Julie.
Thank you so much.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for putting up with all of this, Robin. This is definitely a crazy night.
Are you kidding me? I live for the crazy. Hello, I have 4 kids. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and see, you know, it's interesting because one of the things that actually these wheels and stuff that I've been playing in, they say that, you know, there's no such thing as chaos. Chaos is just a perception. A view of perception from a space that doesn't understand what's happening.
Right.
But in all of the cosmos, there is no such thing as chaos. Everything is in an order. It's just if we are not expanded or we're not in a clarity, so to speak, we wouldn't understand what was happening. And the easiest way to see that, what I use for the analogy is, Whenever I go to New York City, I love people watching in New York City, Grand Central Station especially.
And never been.
Sit,
that's awesome.
Oh, we got to get you there. Well, Lilydale is a small piece of real estate in between Lilydale and
Manhattan.
But we will get you. Before this lifetime is over for both of us, we will get you and your family down to New York City.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
We'll
do it.
But what's interesting, and this can be done in any metropolitan city, if you sit at a railroad station and you see literally hundreds of thousands of people going through the main corridors, it is absolutely chaotic. But from each person's standpoint, they know where they're going. You know, they at least know, I'm looking for my train. So it would look chaotic, but if you were in each and every one of those people, they know what, you know, they're finding their gate, they're going to their train. And when someone first told me that, I was like, what a great analogy of how things can look chaotic when the truth is they're not.
No, it's all planned out. It's everyone's doing going their own path, and that is. That's very good. Yep. I'm always one to say it's actually my sister's husband actually said this to me when he was here over the last weekend looking at the house because, you know, we just moved and everything. And I said, yeah, this is a kid's room, always messy, never clean, not going to pretend it's ever clean. And he's like, it's organized chaos. I was like, you're exactly right.
Exactly.
That is what it is. I said, I'm going to use that. That's perfect.
That is the truth. It really, because, you know, we're afraid of that which we don't understand instead of surrendering to it.
Yep. Yep.
Because,
right.
To speak about, you know, parents and stuff, I know several of my friends that have teenagers, that's like one of their biggest pet peeves is the kid's room isn't clean. And I'm like, you know, I can understand, you know, you're not wanting it to kind of come out into the rest of the house, but why can't the kid have their space be any way they want it to be?
Yeah.
You know, there should be a privacy as well as a territory in the sense of the children need space to reflect. If they're in chaos, then
that's okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, my father's interrupting my radio show by knocking on my door. And he didn't even wish me a happy birthday. He just knocked on the door and interrupted. Anyways,
I was going to say, you know, I'm big on that as far as, you know, and a lot of people ask me, it's so funny because they think because I do empowerment of children and they envision me and label me as someone with like these cookie cutter kids, you know, and they really do.
Right.
And I get asked a lot, you know, well, my kids are so this or so that. I bet your kids just sit and they're quiet. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, my kids are kids, and they're having fun, and I am big on having fun, and if they want to build forts through my entire house after I just got done spending 2 hours cleaning it, I will not tell them no, and they'll vouch for that 100%, and as far as Emily goes, she's my 13-year-old, and you were saying with teenagers, I love her independence and her freedom, and you have to let them have that. And if that's in their own room, if, you know, it was a big thing, we moved in here, she wanted to paint her room dark, dark purple. And she went back and forth with Keith, and he's like, you can't do that. It's going to look like a cave. It's going to make the room look smaller. And I just was kind of stayed out of it a little bit, and then we went to the store, and we bought the dark purple. And when we brought it home, he said, I told her she couldn't do that. And I said, you know what? I said, it's not your room. It's her room. I was like, who cares?
That's,
you know,
awesome, Robin. And I understand you. You know, your husband is really just looking from the whole constructive point of view. And clearly, if you ever sell the house, and I know you're not going to, but if you ever did, you just repaint it. I mean,
right, and his, you know, his thing is he is very supportive of the kids and lets them be themselves, and he's one to build the forts with them, and I mean, finger paint everywhere. I mean, if you looked at my furniture, I mean, we've only had it like 2 or 3 years, and I mean, it's kid worn, and I don't care. I mean, there's paint on the table, and there's my daughters have drawn pictures on the couch cushions, and, you know, and the way I look at it is they're not being disruptive. You know, they're just being kids, and I have to tell you this story because it's so cute. And
please?
We lived in Hersey. We bought a little cabin. Well, then Keith built this huge addition onto it, and this is up north. This is in our new house, and we had just gotten all of the walls painted for this addition that he had built, and Carly, which is, she's now 5, and she was, I think she was 2 or 3 then, she's like, Mom, you have to see this. You know, she comes and gets me, and she takes me to the living room. I mean, we hadn't even put carpeting into it. It was just the walls freshly painted. And she had drawn this big, huge, beautiful family on the walls. And my mom's like, oh, my God. it up. I'm like, you know what? I couldn't yell at her because I'm like, it's so beautiful. She didn't draw it to be, you know, destructive and mean.
Exactly.
She drew it because she just, and I said, it's just a wall. And my kids know that, you know, they break something on accident or spill something, you know, we're always like, it's replaceable. It's okay. It's
absolutely.
Okay. You know? You know, love that about your kids and their fingerprints and the dirt and, you know, so what if your house is messy? Who cares? It's life. Enjoy it.
It's life when it's being lived. You know,
yeah.
Some people really want to live in a museum. And in all honesty, I mean, because my mother was very much like you are. There was never a space we couldn't go into the house. There was never a space that wasn't used in the house. We clearly, most of my friends always ended up coming here, and a lot of them said because there was no rules here.
Right.
You know,
there
was a freedom here, which ironically, my mom, you know, she used to say, the reason why I have no rules is because I want you to want to be here. You know, like she got that. And I think she was pretty much ruled big time as a child in her own family. That's why she was like, I'm not going to raise my family in the same way.
Yeah, you did. So, you know, like you said. Sorry, I didn't mean to go on and on. I think it's so important that people hear that because I see it and I hear it, and I just think it saddens me because I think, you know, you have these precious kids and let them be. Let your house be messy. You have more important things to worry about, and life's way bigger than if there's toys spread down your stairs, you know?
Yeah, well, and it's
that.
Robin, you honor your children, not as
I do.
As because they have physically smaller bodies, that means you're in control, but you honor them for the creative, masterful, you know, amazing beings that they are. And I mean, there is something that goes way beyond the dust, the paint, the dirt. You know, there is, you know, because in all honesty, I've seen these documentaries of, you know, Aborigine families, you know, families that are living, you know, basically without, you know, electricity. They're in the woods, you know, they're tribes.
Right.
And the way they honor each other, you know, they live on dirt floors, but I promise you they don't feel poor. I mean, there's nothing poverty about the culture. The culture itself has so much to teach the people that are living on marble floors, you know, with, you know, Dior handbags, whose kids are afraid, you know, to put their feet on grass because of the dirt.
Right.
You know, it's like, I know there are children that were afraid to get out of our pool when I was kids because their mother kept them so clean. They were like, I can't put my feet on the ground. And I was like, why? And they were like, I can't get dirty. And I was like, I'm dirty, I'm okay. And it's like, I mean, it was like, boy, there's a lot of fear instilled in this perfectionism that we call being clean and neat.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's true.
Crazy.
It is. It is insane. And I just think, like I said before, there's bigger things to deal with and love. And, you know, you're going to have your time. Like, if you have younger kids, and it's funny because we were getting paint this weekend, and the lady had said to me, I was saying, yeah, this is my daughter. She's painting her room or whatever. And she's like, oh, that's so nice. Like, my mom never let me hang anything on my wall. She never let me do anything to my hair. She never let me paint my room. Couldn't have posters. And
so what's
like,
her house like now, I wonder?
Yeah,
I wonder if it's the whole hodgepodge of her freedom.
That's what she told me. She's like, as soon as I turned old enough, she's like, I had like pink hair and earrings everywhere. My room was painted and put on. I'm like, oh, I'm like, well, good for you.
You know, because it always seems like this creativity is going to come out of us one way or the other. If the parents don't let it out of the kids, then the kids are going to let it out when they're parents. You know, I mean,
that's right. So true.
But I mean, I personally, I'm with you. I mean, because my mom actually corked an entire side of our wall because she was like, okay, this way you can put tacks, you can do whatever you want. It didn't leave holes in the wall.
Oh, that's
so,
a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. You buy cork as in squares.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And you just blew it up, and the whole wall was a cork board wall.
Well,
and it's interesting, too. Even to this day, I mean, because I'm still in the house that I grew up in. The room that I call my healing room that I'm sitting in right now, I mean, it's covered with paraphernalia, so to speak, of shamanism, animals, crystals, Almine's wheels, all of it. It's like, how do you not allow someone to express themselves in their space? How do you take that away from somebody?
Yeah.
That's huge to take away. Yeah.
It is. That's great. I mean, I love that corkboard idea. I'm writing that
down
too, Steve. I'm getting all sorts of good ideas tonight.
It's my birthday. We don't just receive gifts. We give gifts. I'm glad that yeah, it's great. And then all you have to do is buy tax.
Yeah, because I have, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's and they can take it down, put it up, take it, and because we did, for me it was always animals, and my brother's was always sports.
Okay.
So,
yeah, awesome.
But it doesn't leave holes, that was the whole key, so.
Yeah, that's, see, your mom is smart, so she figured out a way. See, that's all
parents
need to do.
Exactly.
You don't want your kids to, you know, I have a friend up north, and she was the same way, and, well, she's not really a friend, she's just an acquaintance, but, you know, she wouldn't let her daughter hang up posters, and her daughter, she's very overbearing. I watched her, you know, like keep her thumb on her kid, and I'm seeing it come back, you know, at her now because her daughter's pretty out of control, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, well, that's what happens,
perfect.
Energetically
yep.
speaking. I mean, creativity is literally in adults. I mean, and Tobias and Company, Crimson Circle and Company has talked about this. If you don't release creativity, it will become the energy that creates tumors and cancers and illnesses.
Yeah.
It's physically an energy that must be expressed. And, you know, a wall is, like you said, just a wall.
Yeah.
And yet, if it's treated with the creativity, it can actually become the gateway to the imagination and the soul. See, it's interesting because it can be just a wall or it can be a gateway to the soul. I mean, it really is.
Exactly.
How you're looking at something, you know, as a potential for significance or literally, you know, the tightness of being. And, you know, I mean, if you don't want your walls to get, you know, things hung up on, my suggestion is you probably shouldn't have children. I mean, because that's part of the expression of it, you know.
Yep, you know,
it's like having a dog and saying, don't go to the bathroom.
Yes, and think of the power that you give them. You know, like as far as it goes with teenagers, like you think about this. Emily's always shared a room until she was 13 because I was a big believer of kids don't need their own rooms, that they need to stay connected, and I didn't want her to be separate from the pack, I guess, was my whole mentality. Well, then I started realizing how much older she was and, you know, just the difference, you know. And I thought, okay, she could use her own space. So Keith built her a room up in Hersey. And she, you know, she couldn't really do anything to it because there was a lot of finished stuff that we had to finish. And then we moved here, and now her room's all finished, obviously. And so it just seems like she's so empowered by it and so into it, just being hers, you know. So I think with any kid, you know, that's important to give them their own identity. And I do that a lot with my girls because I don't ever want them to compete. And people say, oh, don't they fight all the time? And they don't. I mean, they normal fight, of course they do, here and there. But it's
and the goal isn't for them not to, though. That's not
right, exactly.
The goal isn't for them not. But the goal is definitely to not encourage the competition because we each come in with gifts. There's no, I got a gift and you don't. No, we all have gifts. Now, what's your gift? I got my gift. Now, let's play. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And you know what? I remember when I was a kid and me and my sister fight, my mom acted like we were the only kids in the world that ever fought. And now that I have my own kids, I'm like, are you kidding me, Mom? You know? But I don't pit them against each other. I don't sit there and say, oh, Emily, why can't you be more like Camden? Or you know what I mean? I just don't do it because I just feel like they're so perfect. And every person, not just kid, perfect, is perfect. You're perfection. And you got to come to that complete wholeness and look yourself in the mirror and say, I am complete and perfect, and know it and feel it and believe it and watch the shift that happens in your life. And do that for your kids. Let them have
that. See, but unfortunately, you know what it is? If a parent doesn't see that or feel that in self, how are they going to see that or feel that in the child?
Exactly. And that's why, you know, they have to get there. They have to work at it and get there.
They have to become aware of it, right. Because once they're aware of it, they really will see that the child is perfect because all of life is perfect.
Exactly.
You know, it was interesting because the intention that I set for the 60 wheels in 60 days,
mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure. I really thought about this before I created. This is what I came up with because I'm curious what you think about it because the word perfect, it's an interesting word because, see, on some level we're talking about the perfectionist mother that is, you know, cleaning their child up so much the kid's afraid to get dirty. And then we also talk about the perfection of life. See, some of these words, it really depends on the level of consciousness, because on some levels of consciousness, the word perfection is a death trap, and other levels of consciousness, the word perfection is surrendering to the perfection that life is indeed not chaotic, but perfect. Because this was the intent. Experiencing life and surrendering to the perfection of now.
Right.
To be honest, the word that I grappled with was perfection, because I'm like,
When I think of the word perfection, I agree with you. I think it's all in perception of it. And when I think of perfection, I see it as a complete and wholeness. I don't see, like, as far as with the perfection and the mother and that, I guess I don't relate that much to when I'm using the word perfection at all, actually.
I agree.
At all. So,
I think consciousness is ready for perfection to be exactly like you said, whole and complete, because that is what the perfection is.
Yeah.
And the perfection has dark in it. It's not just about being light. It's about a blending of the dark and the light, the masculine and the feminine, the up and the down, the right and the wrong, the good and the bad, all of that is completion. Nothing shunned. Everything is welcome and integrated.
That's right. And, allow, if you're angry, it's okay. It doesn't make you a bad person because you get angry. You're so in control of everything, and the main thing is how you react. I mean, everything comes down to that. Like I was teaching to my kids this, is that anyone can act the way that they act. It doesn't matter. You cannot control anybody else in the world. I don't care your husband, your children, your spouse. I mean, anybody. You can't control them. All you can control is how you react to what they do. And that's all it boils down to. So if you get angry because they do something, that's you. That's your choice, your emotions, your feelings. You're the one who allows that into your reality. So if you don't, then it's not there. So it's really bottom line is you. You can't blame anyone for the way that you feel and the things that you go through. You can't be like, I'm jealous because my husband. No, you're jealous because that's your insecurities, and you're the one who's playing them out into your reality. So either move forward or stay in it, but don't put the blame on anyone else.
Or at least recognize that. If you are blaming somebody, the quantum leap in consciousness is actually understanding that there's no one here but one being. I mean, we look like there's 6 billion of us. And remember, there's 6 billion of us on the planet. There's about 35 billion of us that are coming back and forth from incarnation to incarnation. So altogether, there's about 40 billion souls playing the game of Earth. And it's all an illusion that we're separate. Because I tell people all the time, if you look at your fingers, on the ends of your fingers, it appears that each one is an individual. But as you go up through the finger, it all comes down to the palm. They are connected. The Almeen work that I'm doing is so clearly removing all the illusions. What the work that I do with most of the teachers that I work with is, once you really get an understanding, not just a philosophy of, yes, we are one, and in the meantime, get pissed off when somebody cuts you off. This is not just about talking this philosophy. This is about genuinely understanding that what you see in another that you like or love is you. What you see in another that you dislike and abhor, am I saying that word right? Hate is you. Strong word, but the key is to know that life just isn't about the stuff that we love. We came here. There's so much depth in this world and life we call life on Earth. There's depth that I'm just beginning to understand, that there is abuse and a grace and a beauty to pain. And that pain is one of the most exquisite teachers Somebody's answering a Facebook thing of mine. Is my pager. But I don't want to get stuffed in this because one of the things you actually came up in conversation with me and a friend of mine the other day because I said, you know, I honor the work that you do. I go. She's always focused on the positive and the affirming. I said, but in my conversations with her personally, and even on the air, I was like, she'll acknowledge the dark. It's not like you say, no, we don't give it a mat around here. We are always smiling. You know, it's like,
oh no,
it's not life. But you're always focused on, but it's okay. It's okay. Everything is all right. There is a divinity here, and we're going to look for the joy. And it's like, I do honor that about you, Robin. It's one of the things that I think is going to be your greatest sharing to the one self is your genuine optimism. And I don't believe it's faked, and I know it's not. Genuine. It's your authentic optimism because, you know, you read stories like Viktor Frankl, who wrote an amazing philosophy while he was in a concentration camp based on beauty.
Right,
now, there's a gentleman who focused on the beauty, even though, you know, clearly there was horrific experiences going on around him. That doesn't mean you have to focus on it. It's as simple as that. You acknowledge him, but you can focus on whatever you want to choose to focus on.
Exactly.
You're a living example of that. So, indeed.
Well, thank you. That's nice. That makes me feel good because it's true. I definitely feel that I work to live like that. I do. It's just
the
way of life.
It's apparent in everything you do. It is, and it's one of the reasons when I first started getting into the Almeen work, and I was doing wheels and things of that nature. I don't tend to want to do wheels to help somebody get out of their muck. I'll say this until they ask for help. When somebody asks for help, I'm always there. But what I used to do is I used to say, listen, I'm going to get you out of your muck even though you haven't even asked for help because I'm starting to realize it's in the muck that humility is born. It's in the muck that compassion is created and experienced. The muck is the teacher that takes us out of our ego and says, you know, you can have, you know, a lot of toys, so to speak, in the whole material, the game of the material world. But if you don't have an open heart, you're going to be riddled with disease. You're going to be riddled with the people around you are probably lying, cheating, and stealing from you. You know, it's like, but you don't know that these things are important until you've experienced the muck.
Yeah.
So it's not our goal to take people out of the muck. It's our goal to be there when they're in the muck and they lift their hand and they say, "Can you help me? I'm on it like stink on poop." It's a family show.
All right.
But to take them out before that, you know what? I found the soul gets a little angry with, quote-unquote, the light workers trying to save the people, because we're not saving anybody if they don't themselves know that compassion is the road to clarity and that understanding and you know, seeing a broader picture that when you've been through your own turmoil, you have a lot more understanding for somebody else going through turmoil. When you haven't been through turmoil, you will judge from here to eternity.
Yep, it's true. It's definitely true. You have to, and they're all good lessons. They're all good lessons to get you one step closer to whatever your purpose is. That's the way I look at it. And
exactly.
I mean, you know, I look back.
What is your purpose? Can you share with us your purpose?
My purpose? I know that my purpose is to inspire people who otherwise feel limited and to empower and encourage parents and children to explore their path of self-awareness. I know that's my purpose, to grab these kids and adults that doubt themselves and feel like they're not getting anywhere and to be that, see the beauty in them and perfection and help them to see that. Give them the mirror to see who they are.
Nice.
And that's what I believe my purpose is. And
now, has your purpose changed in as you've gotten older and have children and stuff? Like, was that your purpose 10 years ago?
Well, 10 years ago I had Emily. So,
okay.
So no. No, that, you know, that really, I think that it probably was always the underlying purpose, but I lost it for a little while, and I just kind of shoved it, you know, to the side, and
okay.
And then I
Well, that's
lost,
when you were learning, though, isn't it? Isn't that when your
yeah.
greatest growth came? Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. And I think that that happens to a lot of people. And then, you know, just recently, not too long ago, I completely lost track of what I was doing, and I was working. You know, everything seems to flow very easily for me. I will say that, you know, I don't ever – I mean, I don't not ever have bad days, but they're very few and far between, and they don't last, you know, and I'm so grateful for that, and I know that's because it's the way that I choose for it to be, but
exactly.
I happen to have got discouraged in my own purpose and in my own feat that I was taking on, and I realized how much harder I was working when I was lost compared to when I found myself, and I was like, oh, what am I doing? You know, I just had this quantum moment in the middle of the night, you know, and it was just like hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, what are you doing? Why, what is wrong, you know, with this picture?
Oh, wow.
And
interesting.
As soon as
okay.
I got back on track, it was amazing at how the flow just instantly started back. And I'm not talking about my family life. I'm talking about my professional life and how it just totally just fit back into place, just like, you know, Legos, just back to normal. So
Legos,
so that's cool.
But that is, and you know, there's a simplicity to life, isn't there? When we seek for the simplicity, when it clicks, it really does absolutely change the whole experience of the outer reality. It just changes everything.
Yep. Yeah.
Hold on. Somebody's got their hand up, so let's see,
okay.
Who this caller is. All right. Okay. I believe you're on Skype because it shows up as 11111111. So you're on the air. Hello? Hello? Okay, they don't want to talk.
Okay.
Okay. You don't have to talk. I'm going to mute you again. You're not muted yet. Yep. Okay, you're muted. Just so you know, if you hit the number one on your phone, it cues you up in the switchboard, and okay, they hung up. They got frightened. They might come back on without the one. Maybe they didn't know that. So it's
all good. Hey, it's confusing.
I just
right?
never
I
know. It's a birthday
yeah.
night.
Yeah. I have a hard time with it too. So. I know how it is.
Well, and you know, I'm all about the fun of this. You know, I tell all my friends when, or anybody even, not even people necessarily that I know personally, but you know, I'll be like, I'm thinking of doing a show, and it's like, okay, and they'll go, well, I don't know if I know how to do this, and it's like, well, do you enjoy talking? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, then you know how to do a radio show. You know, I was like, I get that there's a format, but I'll be honest with you, I tried that in the beginning, and I was. Did you ever see Howard Stern's movie, Private Parts?
No.
I would highly recommend anybody that does their own radio show. I would recommend it. You know, clearly because. I realize that Howard is quite a controversial figure, but from the radio personality per se point of view, it is a priceless movie to see. When Howard first started, he tried to be something he wasn't, and in all honesty, he was terrible. And when he just surrendered and became Howard, you know, he became clearly, you know, a global sensation. And so ultimately, what I'm always telling people is just be you, and I promise you there'll be an audience for you. I don't know if it'll be a global audience per se, but everybody's always open to listening to anybody that's authentic because it's an energy that it just radiates its soul. The
yep.
soul will come off as authentic. If you try to fit into a groove that you think is going to sell radio, most likely you're going to sound foolish and actually people will get turned off by it.
Yep, exactly.
My personal opinion on it. So
I agree with you. You have to be true to who you are, no matter what the situation is. And radio is the same way. I mean, it's about learning and meeting new people and sharing what they have with the people. And things like that. So, you know, that it's very important to be who you are. I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not so important if you know how to cut brakes. Because, I mean, I remember I didn't know how to go into brakes. You know, and it was like I would get all flustered. And finally it was like, listen, okay, I don't know how to go into brakes, so I'm just going to go, like, tonight we're going to have a break because I'm going to switch. And I'm just going to basically say, all right, you know, Robin's still going to stick with us. And the bottom line is I don't worry about how I say it anymore. When I used to worry about it, I would trip over my tongue and, you know, I would listen to the show's archives and my stomach would be in knots. And it's like, Goldie, this is a beautiful experience. Don't turn it into, you know, Dante's Inferno because you don't know how to transition a guest.
Yeah. It's so true. You just have to go with the flow. And, you know, and a lot of that probably has to do with you, you know, like with me, the way I look at it is, It doesn't really matter what people are thinking. If they get something out of the radio show, that's awesome. I love that. That's what I want to happen. But if they don't, I mean, that's their thing, you know. And I'm not doing it for all these other people. I'm doing it because I want to share these people with the world that I think are amazing. And I get the opportunity to do it. I mean, how many people get the chance to do it and don't take it? Well, I'm taking the chance to do it, and that's what it's all about.
Namaste, sister. That's hot. I totally agree with that. And that is in anything. That's whether it's radio or any sort of self-expression. Again, you know, just to recap, children need that as well. I mean, I thoroughly believe children need that, you know, just as strongly as adults need it. And if it equals, you know, hanging art on the wall, then let's hang some art on the wall or whatever it is. I mean,
dyeing their hair blue. That's what we did tonight with Emily.
There you go.
My fingers are blue right now.
I'm so glad that you moved to that bigger country, you know, bigger city.
I mean, my hands, I look like I'm an avatar. That's cool. I'm good with that. So...
okay, listen, Karen is in the queue, so I want you, can you give your where to find you, and including the radio show and all your wonderful information?
Okay, you can find me at marvelousempowerment.com or on Facebook, just under Robin Marvel, and you can also hear me on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on my radio show on Blog Talk Radio, Living Out Loud, where ordinary people live with extraordinary purpose. That's all on my website, too.
And stick around, because let's get Karen queued up, because if you want to do a reading, that would be awesome. Hi, Karen Anderson.
Well, hi, Goldie. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, love. Thank you for coming on the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me back again. I'm doing great. How about you?
I am having literally the day from magical heaven. It has been an exquisite day, really.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah.
And great show, by the way, Robin. I've been listening. Great show.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for listening.
You're welcome.
That's so hot. You know, I'm so for sisterhood, where women compliment women and, you know, the whole idea of, and I'm all about androgyny, too, and blending all of this, but really, women taking care of women and supporting each other is, I believe in this day and age, extremely important. So that's hot, Karen. That was hot.
Yep. you guys have been just very, very intriguing and interesting. I've been laughing along with you. I mean, it's just been great.
Awesome.
Oh, good.
Awesome. Well, listen, and you're intriguing, too. Your life and your journey is quite fascinating. You know, from cop to animal communicator, that's not a path everyone takes.
I know, that's a little crooked, wouldn't you say? A little crooked path to take.
And, well, you know, to be honest with you, though, I don't think it's crooked at all. I mean, it really seems like it's almost like our gifts are coming up, and I honor you for honoring it.
Well, it took me a while, and I think that was part of the problem is I knew I wanted to do something to give back, because I was in the mortgage business for 20 years, and I hated it. Hated it. And so I just felt this incredible urge to give something back to society, or I just didn't know what, and I wasn't at all into metaphysical or paranormal or anything psychic at the time, at least I didn't realize I was. And so I started volunteering for an animal control in the town that I lived in Colorado, and the animal control was under the sheriff's department. So that's how that all came to be. Pretty soon I was riding along with the deputies, and pretty soon I was hooked. And that's where I began to really sharpen my psychic abilities. And I didn't even realize it. I didn't know at the time, no. Mm-mm.
Well, and isn't it amazing how it brought you into the whole scenario? So it wasn't just the animals, it wasn't just the police force, it was actually a blending of the two.
It was, very much so. And I don't think I figured it out until many years later as to what was actually happening. You know, I get a good chuckle out of my guides who I work with on a regular basis because, you know, they just do the eye roll at me like, you know, duh, we were putting the signs up all over the place that you needed to get out of the mortgage business. And seriously, you guys, I had such horrible success in the mortgage business that when I look back on it, my resume is a who's who of who's no longer in business anymore. Everything I touched turned to goop. And I was written up all the time. I was in trouble all the time. I got fired once from a mortgage job. I mean, I was not a happy camper. And
that's a powerful message, though, because I think it's important for people to know that if you're in a job based on a social conditioning, meaning, you know, for the fame, the glory, the money, anything other than the soul and the heart, if it's not working there, you know, it could be a clear sign that there's something within that we're not paying attention to. Something that you would never think that you could make a living at, you know, per se, as an animal communicator and or a cop. I don't know if when you were a little kid you thought about, you know, being a hero or I don't know your, you know.
No, I was a cowgirl when I was little. I wanted to ride horses and be a cowgirl.
Right, and yet, you know, and you had the courage to finally, you know, make that transition is, I think it's very important because I think the conscious level of the planet right now is borderline pushing people off of cliffs metaphorically, have the courage and make the gesture to go towards that where your passion lies.
Well, I got to tell you, it was a learning process and it was at times very unnerving and very unclear. I had my family and friends looking at me like I had lost my mind when I became a police officer. I mean, they thought I was nuts. In this day and age, you know, with all the gangs and killings and
right.
I mean, they just thought I had jumped off the deep end. And then to take that leap of faith and go from being a cop to being a psychic or an animal communicator, whatever you want to call me, doesn't matter to me. I mean, my family was like, okay, she's lost it. You know, she's completely lost it. And when I look back on it now, I realized how many years I stayed in a job that I absolutely despised, that I was very good at it, but I got nothing from it. It didn't fill my soul. It didn't make me happy. I was very unhappy. I had a business partner that embezzled from me and drove a company into bankruptcy. I mean, everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong, and I could not see the forest for the trees or whatever that saying is. Couldn't see
right.
it.
Right.
And
in hindsight, you could see. I think it's often tough because it's interesting how I'm hearing you say, you know, your family was like, you know, you lost your mind. And that is part of the process of becoming a soulful being because the mind is a limited experience where the soul clearly gets the synchronicities, clearly gets the non-physical world as being just as much a part of the experience as the physical world. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I know that, you know, people say that we're losing our mind, but the truth is we're gaining so much more. What we're letting go of is so little compared to what you're allowing, you know, to become part of your experience.
Well, it really is a bit unnerving, and it definitely goes against the flow of things in the majority. You know, there were a few people that stood by my side and a few people that were very supportive. You know, my own husband was even very skeptical of what I was doing, and he used to kind of tease me and make fun of me. He doesn't anymore. He's my biggest fan. But in the beginning, he didn't even really support me. It was, and I'm not saying that in a mean way. I'm just saying that to show you that, boy, he's made a complete 180, and he is probably the one who has pushed me as far as I have and taken it to a professional level, because I wasn't even going to do that. I was happy just doing this for family and friends and enjoying what I was doing. And he's like, you know, you help people in a way that you can't even place a dollar amount on it. He said, you really need to go professional with this. I never would have done that. I didn't have the confidence on my own. And my husband was right there, you know, right behind me all the way, supporting me, saying, you know, you are really good at this, and this is not just a hobby. This is your passion. So, you know, ultimately, I lost a few so-called friends over it, but apparently they weren't friends in the first place, because a true friend would be there and support you no matter what color you are, no matter what you do for a living or whatever your beliefs are. But I do think, too, that we tend to attract those others who are at the same vibrational energy that we're at. And so it was time to kind of clean house and get rid of the old stagnant energies that were in my life and bring in some new ones, more higher vibrational beings into my life. And that's what I did.
Well, I'm very glad you did.
Well, I am too.
I'm very happy that you have taken this into.
Hold on. I'm on the air, Dad. Not a good time.
Oh, my God. Don't talk to him if you need. I have a friend here who's here for my birthday, and my father's just coming in my bedroom my healing room to talk. Okay, sorry. You know, these are the non-professional moments. Robin, I want to share with you.
Gotta love live radio, huh?
You know, I laugh because I used to watch remember the Carol Burnett show when everybody used to crack up when Harvey Korman, I'm not even sure if I'm getting his name right.
Yes.
You know, and that's what made that show so spectacular was the humanity brought into the skits where, exactly, you know, Dad walks in and just starts talking to my friend Polar Bear. It's so funny. Oh, anyway, Karen, I have been excited since I knew you were coming on the show. Now, are you open to doing readings tonight?
I am, yes, but we need to just let people know that we can't take any lost animal calls because it's just too time consuming and not conducive for live radio. So,
okay. I also express to the audience that soulful questions, no silly "where is Fifi's toy" kind of questions.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you already know the answer to the question, you know, please don't go there. That's not what this work is all about. I'm here to help you with issues that maybe you're having a problem with, behavior problems, health issues, death and dying concerns, end-of-life concerns, or even contacting those animals that have passed on. That's
awesome.
What it's all about.
I agree. And I've had a reading from you. I got my first reading from you on Washali's show, and you blew my mind with the reading you gave me.
My gosh, how long ago was that? I'm feeling old now.
No, not old. Yeah, that was about 2 years ago. That's actually the last reading I received, and you've really left quite an impression on me. It was just a matter of, you know, it was an amazing read. I tell people all the time, I was like, listen, you're going to ask about the pet, but truly soul beings can start coming through your animals because they're open, and Karen will pick up on it. And, you know, because you were talking about a legion of angels standing behind me.
You've got quite a peanut gallery, so to speak. They're all holding up banners, you know. Woohoo!
Yeah. I need an applause button. That is the one
thing I need.
Yeah, I wish Staples made one, not just that that was easy, but yay! Okay, well, it's my birthday, so I'm going to be a little selfish and do the first reading.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, thank you. And the cat that I want to know about, our connection still, is Dakini.
Okay. And why don't you, for those who are listening, just describe her as you're describing her. I'll draw her energy in.
Okay. Dakini is, well, she is truly my beloved. She is a long-haired calico female cat. I got her from the Humane Society. The first 2 years of her life, she literally lived on her wits. And
how
when
old is
I,
she? Goldie, how old is she?
She was two in, she's nine.
Okay. Cause
I think nine. Okay.
I have to tell you what I'm seeing first of all. I'm seeing the word love, 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 but I'm also feeling the love coming from her to you. But she's also telling me that she's extremely beautiful. And I'm seeing just multiple colors and just a beautiful, beautiful girl. So, and she feels very symmetrical, like even though she has all these different colors on her, everything just blends just beautifully.
Oh,
that's
that is right on, yes. That is her. That's, she is my queen, too, indeed.
Well, let me tell you what she's saying here. She says, I'm a special girl, she says. Tell Mom, I call you her mom. Tell Mom
okay.
that I love her and I'm gorgeous and I deserve the best because I give the best of myself.
Aww.
She's
yes.
exquisite. She is.
Yes.
I feel that. Because last time we talked, she really came through of how grateful she was that, you know, I rescued her, quote unquote. And the truth is, she has rescued me.
Oh, isn't that the truth? I believe that.
Yeah.
I totally. I think my animals have so rescued me. Well, she's given me a little, I'm going to say, no pun intended, a little pose on the catwalk, like she's showing off how gorgeous she is. She's doing a little strut, a little hip action going on there. She's really being animated and loving the attention. She's very, she looks very girly to me. She has a very girly, girlish feel to her energy and very prim and proper, and everything's just perfect. She's showing me just how perfect she is, how beautiful she
definitely.
Is.
Yes, definitely.
Such a pretty girl. Boy, she
oh,
loves
thanks.
Her mama. She loves you so much, she says.
Oh, thank you for that. Indeed. I don't have children, and I tell people, if you don't have children, pets really become offspring. I mean, they really do. And I'm not saying that people who have children don't love their pets as well, but it's like I got to pour love into something, and I can pour it into a lot of things, but the pets just – and I, you know what's interesting is, and I don't know if she can tell us this or not, I have this oral fixation where I was literally told by a dentist that I brushed my teeth too much and I was brushing my gums away.
Oh.
So he was like, you know – chill on that, you know, do more flossing and stuff, but, you know, stop brushing 11 times a day. You know, clearly neurosis, I get that. But what's interesting is, you know, we pour our energy into our pets. Dakini will pop her teeth through plastic, whether they be plastic bags or folder covers, and she's doing it to floss her teeth. And I remember saying, I couldn't wait till you came on the show, because is that a reflection of my energy in her coming through as the neurosis to want her teeth clean?
I would say absolutely, and without a doubt. I mean, it's what I call mirroring. They literally mirror either our health issues or whatever is going on with us, and I see it a lot. I really do. In fact, most of the time if someone contacts me for some kind of a health issue, I can almost always trace it back to their human or somebody in the household. It may not always manifest as the same thing. Like if it's lower back pain, it might manifest as leg issues or something. You know,
okay.
It's not always exactly the same. But part of the purpose that we have animals in our lives, they're here to help us with our issues. They're here to help us heal, and they're here to be our support system when everyone else in the world fails us. And they quite literally are little barometers of us. So here's a good rule of thumb. If you're doing well and taking good care of yourself and eating right and exercising, you have good balance in your life, and you're a good person, generally speaking, you're going to have very well-balanced animals. And the opposite is true. If you are unbalanced, if you have health issues, if you don't take care of yourself, if you stress out over things, that all traces down to your animals, and your animals will basically absorb all of that unbalanced energy from you, and it will manifest into behavioral or health issues, or both.
Right. Now, does that include old age, though? Wouldn't old age, like us in old age, the body will just start breaking down because it's old age. It just doesn't happen at 90. It might happen at 16 or 18 or whatever, right? It might not be the same thing at that point, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's very interesting, too, how the animals seem to know about their humans' health issues. And what's really interesting is that the animals are very forthcoming and they'll tell me about it, but the humans won't. They'll cover up and they'll hide behind things and they won't give me a straight answer sometimes, not always, but sometimes. And it just amazes me because the animals are usually always accurate. If the human says no and the animal says yes, I'm going to put my money on the animal that they're right. And that the human is just in some kind of denial or some form of not wanting to face up to whatever it is. But that happens quite often. I mean,
I see that in my work
agenda.
As well.
Yeah.
God bless the animals, and God bless, you know, you being the bridge, because I think on some level the people must want it to be exposed. That's why they're calling and working with you. You know what I mean? Even if they're in denial, they're calling you because denial is something that is so prevalent in this culture around all things metaphysical, you know, and emotional, and it's like, wow, it's such a big part of our experience. It just amazes me. You know,
I've got a really fun story to share with you. Can I do that? Do we have time?
Of course.
Okay. and stop me if you've heard this before, but it's just one of my favorite stories, and it just illustrates how honest, brutally honest the animals can be sometimes, much to our chagrin. But I had a woman contact me for a phone session, and she said that the reason for contacting me was that her husband's cat was going potty in her very expensive shoes in the closet, but she leaves the cheapy shoes alone. She doesn't potty in the cheapy shoes. So she's using the very expensive, like Nordstrom shoes, as a litter box. And so she wanted me to find out why. So I connect with the kitty, and I start asking the kitty, you know, what's going on? Why are you using mommy's shoes? And the cat said to me, because I don't like it when she and that man lock me out of the bedroom, just clear as day. And so just assuming that she meant when
the husband.
The husband.
Oh, my.
I said, oh, do you mean your daddy? I said that to the cat, and she goes, that man is not my daddy.
My. Being called out by a cat.
Oh, yeah. Now here's the moral question, the ethical question. You know, what do you do? Do you come out right out and tell this person why Kitty's mad? Or do you sugarcoat? Or do you just act like you don't know and go on from there? And it seemed like time stood still for me, because I will never forget there was such a dead air between when the cat told me that to when I finally decided to say something. It was like everything just got put on hold, and all these thoughts are running through my mind. What should I do? What's ethical? What's moral? Excuse me. And
no problem.
Here's what I came up with in that split second of thinking. She called me because she had a problem, and she wanted to get the problem solved. She wanted to know why the cat was pottying in her shoes. And if I didn't tell her that message, I would be doing her a disservice, because she's paying me to figure out what the problem is. Well,
absolutely.
Certainly, that's the problem. That's how she can solve the problem.
Well, and so, the way I would look at it, too, is she clearly knew. It's not like you were telling the husband.
Right.
Which would have been a really challenge. In other words, if he called up saying, why is this cat being in the, that would have been, like, really challenging. You know, she is you know, the perpetrator, so to speak.
Right.
So
right. Knew that
if it was me, I would have, you know, like, I would have definitely told her. I mean, I wouldn't have, you know, let her see my chuckling, because I personally tend to chuckle when, I always say, if you're lying about something, beware, it's coming up.
That's right.
Lies always raise to the, you know, the truth always comes to the surface. That's just, you know, even through a cat.
Through a cat. Can you imagine getting thrown under the bus by your cat? Well, and it's funny, too, because when she first made the appointment, she specified that it was her husband's cat. Now, you know, I hear that sometimes, like if a cat is more affectionate with one more
right.
so than the other. You know, people will say that, oh, it's my cat, oh, it's his dog, oh, it's, you know, whatever.
Right.
But she was just adamant that this was her husband's cat, and she was not liking the cat at all. And, boy, I tell you, when the kitty told me that, I just about fell out of my chair.
Exactly. So, I'm so glad that's on my birthday archive, though. That's a great story.
It's one of my all-time favorites, and this happened, oh, my gosh, I think probably 6 or 7 years ago. I mean, it was a really long time ago. And it has stuck with me, you know, clear as day, just like it happened
yeah.
yesterday, because it was just one of those moments in time where you just go, now, how often am I going to get something like that happening?
Exactly. Ah, it's beautiful, though. You know, it reminds me of the show The Ghost Whisperer, when there's some really ironic, you know, situations
yeah.
unfolding between
yep,
the other
yep.
side and our side. Yeah.
Yep, because
my thought came that, Karen, someday there could be a show about you.
Oh, you know,
that would not surprise
me
at all. Yeah.
I'm
going to
put that out there into the universe, because I would love that.
Oh, there you go. There you go. I'm giving out gifts today. It's my birthday, and I'm giving out
That's
gifts.
Right. That's right.
Indeed. Awesome.
So,
okay.
So, yeah, that's just a heads up to anyone out there who is being unfaithful. Just so you know, the animals know what you're up to.
Very interesting. I love it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Albert is one of my dearest, dearest friends, and he's going to ask you about his little puppy who's quite old. And, well, I'll let Albert, you talk.
Hi there.
Hi, Albert.
Hi. Happy birthday, Golden.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a little toy rat terrier. I used to breed rat terriers, and I used to keep one pup per litter. Things, and she's probably about 13 years old.
Okay. What's her name?
Pee-wee.
Pee-wee. Okay.
Yeah. Because she was a runaway.
And why don't you start just describing her, like how big she is, what her primary colors are, you know, just give us a good visual.
She's okay. She's probably maybe about 12, 13 pounds. Things, and she's brown body, got a white collar around her neck type deal, you know, and a couple little white spots on her feet, like little mittens.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she's having some health issues? Is that what you
yeah.
were concerned about?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you tell me what your concern is so I can check in with her and ask her how she's feeling?
She like wheezes a lot. And especially like when she starts relaxing the you know, like for bedtime type deal and things, she starts like breathing hard.
Even in a restful state, you can just see her struggling a little bit.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, I have to tell you, Albert, she's sending lots and lots and lots of love, mm-hmm. and she loves her daddy. She loves you very, very much. I have to tell you that this feels like a chronic situation, and I'm getting that feeling like it's been building up and it's not going to go away. So is this something that you've been seeing for a while now?
No, it just started maybe like a couple of months, but now it's getting more noticeable and you could hear it.
Right.
Under the covers and everything. You could never know she was around the thing because she'd bury herself under the pillows, everything. Now
right.
she very rarely goes on, you know, she'll go under the covers a little bit, but she'll stick her head out from under, you know. so she could breathe.
Well, it does seem to be affecting her because she's telling me that she is having a hard time. And though she's not complaining, I want you to know that, she says that sometimes it feels like it's heavy on her. She describes it to me as like a heaviness that she feels. And she says that there is a, it gets sometimes worse. Sometimes it's not so bad, but then sometimes she says it gets worse. Is she on any medication for anything?
No.
You know,
earlier
getting...
I had her, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I had her on antibiotics because the vet thought she might have an infection in her tooth.
Yeah, because I'm actually seeing some kind of medication still in her system. So even though it's been a couple of weeks, I'm still seeing little particles, little bits and pieces of it in her system. You know, I really don't, I don't like what I'm seeing. I'm seeing like this is just going to continue and continue to get even worse than what it is right now. And the pressure part, the only thing that I can relate it to is like a pressure around the lungs, pressure around the heart. There's like pressure in there. I don't know if it's from something pushing where it shouldn't. It's just a very heavy feeling is what she's telling me. Have you ever worked with a holistic or homeopathic vet before?
No.
That's one of the things that I've gotten into in the last few years with my animals is I still have my regular vet, but I also work with a holistic vet, and they're wonderful because they go to the source of whatever it is that is giving the animals an issue. They don't just treat the symptoms, and I love that about them. I would recommend getting her to a homeopathic vet or a holistic vet, and I actually have a link on my website at KarenAnderson.net where you can put your address or zip code in and do a search. But I have to tell you, Albert, it's making me a little bit uncomfortable, and I don't like what I'm seeing. So I'm very concerned for her. So I would definitely keep pursuing it because something is just not right there.
Right.
I'll keep you updated on Facebook, Karen.
Please do.
He's a very loving father, of course, and we'll go on her site. and we'll get whatever she needs.
No.
Okay, we will definitely keep, and we will go holistic. He can afford it, and he loves this little dog tremendously. So I'll keep you updated. I will keep you. If she's ready, because I didn't know. I mean, I don't have your talents, and I was like, I don't know if she's ready to cross over or not. I know I've heard her breathing definitely get worse. So,
yeah, she's not ready yet. I think there's actually she has some time still.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah, the worry that I have there is that heaviness. Now, I used to have asthma, and that's what it reminds me of, the heaviness that I used to feel on my chest when I was having an
asthma.
It's
what she sounds like, too. It's very short breaths, exactly.
Yeah, you can't get a deep breath in, you can't get a deep breath out.
Breath out, exactly.
Yeah, and I don't think that your vet is treating for what is really going on there. I think there's something else going on, and to get to the bottom of that may take, somebody who specializes in that. But yeah, please do keep me updated. But
I will.
She sure sends lots of love to her daddy.
Oh, you should. You should see this dog, boy. She is definitely daddy's little girl. Most definitely.
Hugs and everything.
Indeed, she literally. She wipes the side of her chin on him and. It's beautiful to see. I mean, Albert is like 6'3". He's a polar bear, and this little puppy dog jumping around and loving on her daddy boy.
I think that's a real man right there. That is
rock and roll sister. I agree.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I got a girlfriend here. Let's see. Trish.
Yeah. Hi.
Okay, you're on the air.
Happy
with
birthday.
Karen Anderson.
Hi, Karen. Happy birthday, Goldie.
Thank you, love.
I have two cats. They are a brother and sister team, and we got them from a farm up in Vermont as very tiny kittens. Their mother was killed by a coyote. And Lily is a tiny, skinny little thing, and Duke is a robust, big male. And I have two questions. One is, Lily, they both eat, but Lily seems to periodically throw up. I don't know what it is. I've tried changing food to help something healthier, something easier to digest. You know, like I've tried different things as far as that goes. She doesn't do it all the time. She does it randomly. It seems like it's randomly. I can't place a specific to it. But then I also just wanted to know what they had to say.
Hang on one second. Let's start with Lily.
Okay.
And why don't you just describe her for us? Tell us what she looks like.
She is a tiny, skinny little thing who she has gray, black, and brown striped tabby with like a white belly and white paws. And I attuned her for Reiki.
And tell me something, Trish. She's telling me, I'm hearing this message from her, and I don't understand it, so I'm hoping that you will understand this. She's saying, not ready yet, not ready yet, is what she's saying. Now, I don't know about what. I don't know what this applies to, but as you were describing her, that was the first thing that I was hearing. Is there something that is either going on with her or with you or something in the family where there's maybe you're going into something a little bit too soon or too quick or without enough research?
Well, I know that, well, I mean, she lives with my son and his father because I don't have a spot to be with them. I'm here regularly. And so I moved out, I guess, around 2 years ago now. However, currently, nobody's really starting any grand new projects or, like, doing something. And the only thing that's really happening to me, with me, is that I am separating from, in the process of separating from a boyfriend.
Okay.
And and that's pretty firm, like it's not going to go back to anything, but that's that.
Okay.
That's the only thing that I can think of that's happening.
Because she's not letting go of that, and when they keep sending me a repeat message, it means it's important, it means it's pertinent, and we just haven't placed it yet on what's going on. But that's the first thing that she tells me, is like not ready yet, is the message that she was saying. And there might be something else going on at your son's house that maybe you're just not even aware of yet.
Maybe.
Since she lives with them, she's going to have a tendency to pick up on their stuff, their issues, their schedule, and things going on with them.
Yeah.
She is very
connected. They're both very connected to me. I really get the feeling like they are my cats, and as soon as I have a place for them, they'll come with me.
Okay. As far as the digestive issues go, I definitely feel that there is something genetically, something physiological, there is a physical issue going on with her. It doesn't seem to be an allergy. It doesn't seem to be a sensitivity to something. I'm seeing quite literally a, I'm just going to use the word abnormality, or something didn't either finish the way it needed to be finished when she was an itty-bitty kitten, for whatever reason, but I have this just physical feeling going on with her. Now, she's telling me that she may be smaller, but she's mightier than her brother.
That's something I would
absolutely
say.
Absolutely, she is.
Totally, totally.
And he picks on her, and she just sort of like is like, whatever.
Oh, yeah, she's like all girl power. She's all girl power is what she's saying. Small but mighty is what she's telling me. And then he is quite large then, you said, right? That
well, he's not obese. He's a healthy weight, but he's much larger than her. And I mean, my son and his father call him fat, but I really don't think he's fat. I look at him and I see, he doesn't have belly hanging. He's healthy. I look at him and I say, I see just a robust, healthy male cat.
Okay. Quick question for you, kind of off topic.
Yep.
Is somebody connected to you, Trish, a preemie, or do you have any connection to someone who is dealing with that situation?
No, not that I know of. Although my sister is going into labor tonight.
Oh my God!
They're inducing her.
Okay, because is she on? Is she early?
She's not early, but they didn't want to wait. I don't know why they didn't want to wait for the baby to come out itself.
Okay, I'm seeing like a premature birth. I just have to tell you what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a premature birth.
Uh-huh.
And this is your sister-in-law, did you say?
No, my sister, my half-sister.
Your half-sister, okay. And I'm seeing this, you guys are just going to flip because I'm just about ready to flip.
Okay.
Do you remember the first message that came through with Lily?
Not ready yet?
Yeah.
It's that's the what baby.
Guess who?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, I'm just... I'm going to pick myself up off the floor right here. But
wow, that's awesome.
I want to use this as an example, Trish, to just show you and for the listeners, that's how tuned in these animals are to you. They not only know what's going on with you, they know what's going on with your sister, they know what's going on with her pregnancy. They know all kinds of things. Now, they don't know it in the way that you and I would know it, or they're not aware of it, you know, on that level. But they certainly... can pick up on these things, and because it's a thought in your mind, it becomes their thought, or it becomes their world, or their, you know, something that they think about. But I'm so totally hearing from this baby.
Wow.
Oh. There's nothing I can do about that, and that's a shame, too. I know that she did, I mean, according to the obstetrician, you know, she went to turn, but I hear you with that. I hope that everything works out well.
Yeah, well, let's just hold her in prayer for a moment here that your half-sister has a healthy baby and that everything goes well. And we'll ask the angels to surround her and help deliver this baby. Wow, I'm sorry, guys. I need a moment of silence here.
Okay.
No, that's okay. I honor that.
Wow, that's...
That's deep.
It is. Back to Duke. Duke's question.
You know what? You said that and he looks at me.
tell me what your question is or your concern is about him. Just what he has to say or what's on his mind.
Yeah, what he has to say, what's on his mind. He looks pretty much the same as Lily. I am. Describe him, he said, right? You said to describe him?
Yeah, go ahead and describe him for me.
Oh, okay.
Okay. He looks like Lily, but bigger, healthy, black and gray and brown striped tabby with a white belly and paws and a white chin, a little brown spot on his chin, big green eyes.
Okay, well, he's telling me that he is, I'm going to say the ham of the family. That's what he's telling me. He's being, he plops down right in front of me. I just got to give you these images here. He plops down. He's like, here I am. Throws himself down.
Yep.
I love this guy. Lily came through, her energy came through a little bit, I'm going to say, tight. It's the only way I can describe Lily's energy, where Duke comes through and he's like all gushy and mushy. Easygoing energy, that's how he comes through to me. And he's telling me that he's not pudgy, he's saying he's perfect, he says. I am not.
I'll tell them that.
And I love cats.
I'm perfect, and I think you're perfect too, Duke.
Yes.
He says that he has a wonderful family. He loves you. he is a little concerned about Lily, as I am too, and not to hit like the panic button or anything like that, but I would love to see her on something to help her digestively, perhaps enzymes, perhaps
okay.
herbs, something a lot, probiotics. They have enzymes for digestion and that sort of thing.
Okay.
I feel like her system just can't function the way it should. It's
right.
There's a block or something is not impeded. I can't even use the right word right now, but that's what
right.
I'm seeing. And Duke's showing me that too. He's
yeah.
saying that there's a yeah, see, he even shows me her digestive tract. So he's showing me his concern for Lily, his sister, which
uh-huh.
is very sweet.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing her digestive tract. So it's definitely something,
okay.
Trish, that I would stay in front of with her. Don't
okay.
wait for something to happen. You be proactive and help her as best that you can with easy-to-digest foods.
Yep.
And some enzymes to help her process things.
Okay. That naturopathic link that you have on your website, I'll absolutely go there because I would be more than willing to add enzymes to her food.
Yep, and it's a link for the American Association of Holistic Vets, the AAHA, or something like that, something similar to that. And you click on the link, and then it pulls up a search engine, and then it'll pull up doctors in your area or specialists or whatever you're looking for, and it's all holistic.
Right.
It's really, I think, another great way of helping animals because they usually respond really well to things like Reiki and acupuncture and
yep.
very natural modalities.
Uh-huh.
And I love my regular vet. I do, and I think that they have a purpose and a place, but I love my holistic vet. And I'll just plug him. His name is Dr. Jonathan Wright, and that's Wright. He's here in Spokane, Washington, but he does he has clients all over the world because he doesn't need an office for what he does. But he's certainly been a miracle worker for my animals, and I just love him.
Right.
Nice.
Very cool.
Nice. Yeah.
The blockage in her digestive system, that's what I kind of get when I look at her and ask her what's wrong, because there doesn't seem to be anything else that I can trace it to. But of course, I the enzymes things make sense too, so I'm absolutely going to explore that.
Right, right. And as far as the vomiting goes, you said there's no rhyme or reason to it. Is she vomiting up digested food or pre-digested food or just bile? What are you seeing?
Both. It's both. It's a mixture of digested food and pre-digested food, like she has just eaten. And almost like she has eaten something, chewed it, it's being digested, she goes and eats more, and then throws it all up.
Okay. Well, what I would do in the meantime, you know, until you can look into these other things, is I would start feeding her in much smaller portions. And
well, the problem is that when I feed her, when I lay food out, Duke eats it all.
Yeah.
We have to put two bowls of food down, and we have to put enough food in there so that whenever Lily wants some, she'll eat it. Because if we don't, and he's done this many, many times, and I think it's because his mother was, they were very small kittens when their mother was eaten. And so they didn't have any food for a little while. He hogs it all. He
sure.
just goes. He goes to the bowl. He chases her away. He eats it all. She doesn't get any.
Okay.
We
well,
tried.
I'm telling you, as a mom,
mm-hmm.
You need to step in and control the situation. And if you have to feed them separately in separate rooms and close the door, then you need to do that because she needs smaller amounts. And
okay.
he needs to be kept away from her.
Yeah.
I know that might not be convenient, but truthfully what I'm seeing here is
uh-huh.
that her system can't handle volume in at all. So she needs
okay.
small little amounts, very easy to digest food.
Uh-huh.
How old are they again?
They're around like 4 or 5.
Okay, so she's way too young to be having digestive issues. I mean,
yeah.
I see digestive issues in older kitties.
Right.
Certainly not younger ones. So this physiological, you know, right in the spleen chakra is where I'm at. And I feel like I want to open that up and get everything kind of flowing in there. I do feel that it's physiological, meaning something didn't form completely or something was malformed,
yeah.
I guess is the best way. But that's what I would do for her.
Okay.
I would check into some easy-to-digest foods, maybe even a senior food that suits her tummy. You know, check with your vet, of course, first before you do that. And you know to always, when you feed new foods, you have to do a little at a time. You can't do it all at once, cold turkey. But they both send lots and lots of love to their mom.
Yay.
Yay.
I love them, too.
They're so cute. They're so different.
Okay, wait, we have to get to one more person, lovely Robin, who's been waiting so patiently, if that's okay. Cause
thank you.
I had her stick around. I don't want her to stick around and not get a reading.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I love you, Trish. Thank you for understanding. Thank
no
you.
Problem.
Okay, so Robin, tell me who you want to hear from.
Okay, well, we have three dogs and a cat, so let me see here. Maybe our middle dog, Drake.
Okay.
And he is a Pomeranian, and he's just plain black. He's got, like, a little white chest.
How old is he?
He's only a couple years old, but where we got him from was, like, a puppy mill. It was ridiculous there. And so I guess we've had him, like, about 2 years. He was really scared when we got him. Like, he wouldn't walk on floors or anything because he had been locked up in a cage for so long.
Oh, how sad.
Yeah, it was really sad, and he wouldn't he would only go to the bathroom right next to his food because they kept him in so many pens, you know. It was really sickening. The place should be shut down. It was ridiculous, but
well, bless your heart for rescuing him.
Yeah.
And what's your question, or what would you like to ask?
I guess just in general, I guess. I don't really have a question.
See what's on
your
mind.
Sure, yeah. If that's okay with you, let's see what's going on with them.
Okay. The first thing that I have to tell you is he shows me just a hesitation just energetically of like, who am I? He's questioning, who are you? Energetically. So I have already a kind of wary and suspicious feeling from him. I want you to know that it's not fun to live that way. And so what I would like to see is for him to be a little bit more balanced and to feel comfortable because I approach with lots and lots of love in a very loving manner, a very soft approach. And I can already feel I'm going to say just tenseness from it is the first thing that I can feel. He says that he's very loved and very spoiled, but he talks about sometimes getting underfoot or getting somebody's like over him or on him. Is that one of your other dogs?
It could be. You know, he's always been a really, exactly what you're saying about his energy. He's always been like that ever since we very first got him. But he attached really closely to my middle daughter, Carly, and he would sleep with her every night. He doesn't anymore, but he used to, and so he's really attached, but the kids play with him constantly. He is really pampered. So
yeah, he's a very pampered pooch, and one of the things that's important is whenever we rescue an animal and we take it from a bad situation or even, you know, from a pet store, which, you know, we need to always adopt before we buy, but it's really important to keep the animals in the present time. And right now, Drake has a perfect home with loving people and a wonderful family, food and water and shelter and all the toys he could probably want. So we can't feel sorry for them. We can't hold them in the past. We can't treat them with kid gloves. We have to set them their rules and boundaries just like we would our children and expect them to to rise up to that level. He's telling me that he was very tormented where he came from. He uses the word tormented, and he shows it to me surrounded in just darkness and a very bleak kind of a feeling. And I'm just going to tell him that this is his forever home now. He will be with you forever and ever until it's his time to transition.
Yeah, he's blind, too.
Well, he's telling me he's very lucky because if it weren't for you, he would be no more, is what he's saying.
Aww, he's so sweet.
He's saying how very, very lucky he is. So no wonder he feels like he's underfoot or somebody's over him all the time because he can't see. Now, the interesting thing is that that's not what he comes out to tell me. It's not even an issue with him. It's kind of a non-issue. And I love that about animals. They don't see that as a problem. They just accept it and they move on. It's not a big deal to them. And certainly not with him. And who is the forgive me, I'm just the messenger here, but who is the little crazy Tasmanian devil energy that just
Interesting description.
I'm seeing this little tornado go swirling past me, so I got to know who this is.
I'm guessing that's our cat, Salem.
Okay.
Because he attacks Drake all the time, and Drake is like, get away from me.
Oh, God, that's so mean to attack a blind dog.
Well, no, he's not blind.
Yeah,
on the just one.
Okay.
He's just trying to play, and Drake used to play. We had a dog that we had to leave up north when we moved down here. We still see him. My mom has him up there, but Violet and Drake used to play all the time. Violet was a lot bigger. She's like a lab, and Drake's Pomeranian dinky thing, but they would wrestle around, and they were the best of friends, and then Violet didn't do good here because she was raised really out in the open and running free, and when she came here, we had her here for a week, and she just it wasn't good for her. So, but I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get off subject. But yeah, the cat is just crazy. So,
well, I see the literally the from the Bugs Bunny cartoons. I'm seeing the Tasmanian devil just like
so
spinning into the house. And I have to bring up another thing here. Just like on the last call that I took, I'm hearing something about a move or moving. So, can you tell me about that?
Well, we just moved. We actually have lived up north. We lived up there for a good 10 years I guess we haven't had Drake. We've had Maya, our oldest dog, for the last 10 years. And then we just moved here about 6 weeks ago to this new house.
And so this is going to be your home for a while because Drake brings it up, this move. So is this going to be at least
for a
while?
This is permanent. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I always tell my animals is anytime I relocate, I always tell them that this is our new home and we're going to stay here forever and ever. And I picture growing old together in my mind, and I just imagine images that reflect forever home to them or however that looks to you. And it gives them a sense of reassurance and a sense of, okay, well, this is our home. And I do that especially for the animals that have had bounced around from home to home to home. You know, I really try to send that message home to them. But even if you're going to be leaving for, you know, a day or two or going away for the weekend or vacation, tell your animals out loud. Tell them how many dark nights you'll be gone. And then after, you know, three or four dark nights, however long you're going to be gone, picture yourself coming back in the door. But don't make a big deal about it. Just picture it like it's very nonchalant, and then that gives them the information they need that, yes, you're going away for four dark nights, but you're going to be coming back through the door at the end of those four dark nights.
I think Drake had a hard time with the move because of Violet, because she didn't come with us, and they were the best of friends. And I think that was really – well, she came with us for like a week, but
– that could very well be – you know, they're very sensitive to things like that, and a move is quite unnerving. The whole time that you were telling me that story, he was in the background going – talk about the move. Talk about the move. Bring up the move. So it's really interesting what they will bring up, what they will talk about, what's important to them. And, you know, it's sometimes not what you think it would be. Sometimes it's something completely different. And I always recommend flower essences or anything like a rescue remedy for anyone who's getting ready to move. I love rescue remedy. I use it on myself. I use it on my animals. And it just has a wonderful way of helping relieve some of the stress and calm everybody down. I don't put it in the water dish like it says on the bottle. I will actually, for my cats, I'll put a drop on my fingertip and massage it onto the inside of the ear flap, not down the ear canal, but on the ear flap or on the pads of the feet. And for my dogs, I'll just squirt it right in their mouth. They don't really care for the taste, but I don't like to put it in their water dish because it dilutes it too much, and I want that pure concentrated to go in there because it's a tiny little bottle and it's pricey. So
is this the Bach flower remedy rescue?
Yes.
Okay.
The Bach rescue remedy, Bach flower.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was close. I knew I had. Okay.
And if you need help finding that, I've got a link on my website too of where to find that as well. It's at KarenAnderson.net. It's on the resources page. The link is only natural pet. On that page, and you can get to rescue remedy there. I have lots of good stuff on my website for.
Well, and share your. I want you to share the book too. Here Are All Creatures as well.
Yes, I have a book.
Just that they can. Yeah.
It's on Amazon, and they can order it from Amazon, or they can order a personalized copy from me. And it's really about the journey that I took. Some of what I shared with you earlier tonight, and some of it is actually very private things that I went through that I didn't even tell those closest to me at the time what happened. But I had gotten off my path, Goldie. I wasn't going to communicate with the animals anymore, and it was something that I thought that, well, you know, maybe this isn't for me. You know, everybody's coming down on me hard and I'm not being supported and maybe I shouldn't do this anymore. And I was pretty much going to give it up. And I went to a 4th of July barbecue here in Spokane many, many years ago. And I'm sitting on the back deck. It's like 102 out. It was so hot. And the next door neighbor comes over and says, "Hey, Karen," she says, you can talk to animals, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And she says, "Well, we got this little bird. Our cats caught this bird, and we're nursing it back to health. Can you come over and talk to it for us and find out where it came from and what's its name and all of this stuff?" So I said, "Sure." And so I went over next door and was standing in the kitchen, and she came out of one of the back rooms with this pure white dove perched on her finger.
Wow.
And it was a room full of kids and craziness and 4th of July and all this commotion, and this little bird just sat perfectly still on her finger. And I was kind of taken back because it wasn't what I expected. I wasn't expecting a white dove. And the dove stepped onto my finger, and from the moment he wrapped his feet around my finger, everything stopped. Time stopped. That dove had only messages for me. He knew about me. He knew about my hardships. He knew what people were saying to me and being hurtful about talking to the animals. And he said to me, "You are a child of God, and you need to follow your path. And you were chosen to help people and to help animals, and you need to stay on this path." And I'm standing in this kitchen surrounded by all these people who are, you know, "What's his name? Where's he from? You know, how does he like his food?" And I'm bawling. I mean, tears just pouring out. I can't even maintain myself. And they have no clue because this is a silent message, conversation I'm having in my head. They can't hear any of this. So,
right.
You know, I'm standing there losing it in this lady's kitchen. So that was the day that my life changed, and it was that dove that made me realize. And the book goes into much greater detail, of course, but, you know, looking back on it now, I can't even believe that happened. I mean, that is just, talk about divine.
Birds, man. There's something about the bird community. I mean,
yeah.
Golden Hawk. A bird changed my life, too. I mean, truly, there is something about, for in my perception, birds are just, and all animals, I mean, truly all creatures. I mean, because I'm also a big fan of the spiders and the lizards and, you know, the stuff that nobody likes, the sharks and the piranhas. You know, everything has balance and purpose, and but there is something, for me personally, it feels like you as well, exquisite about the birds.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
You know, there's just something really magical.
Well,
again, they're all, you know, the horses are magical and the cats are magical. I don't want to, that's just, you know, they're all magical.
Well,
I love
was,
the birds, though. I resonate with
was,
the birds deeply.
It was truly the defining moment of my life and the path that I chose, and it changed everything. That day changed my entire life. Everything changed from that day, for the better,
with
of course.
That is a beautiful story. Unfortunately, we are at the top of the hour. Karen, I would like to know, though, can you just tell me, what are the basic prices for a session with you? Because there were things I wanted to say, but I'm feeling the desire to do it personally. And I'm figuring, if I ask you, I might as well, you know, let the audience hear it as well.
Sure. I have an online scheduler where you can actually log on and choose your appointment day and time. And
it is based on
Pacific time, though, so you have to take the you guys are 3 hours ahead of me, so
got
keep that
okay.
in mind. And Central
okay.
time is 2 hours ahead of me. But my prices are just based on 15-minute increments, and it's $50 for every 15 minutes. So
okay.
if 15 minutes is 50, 30 minutes is 100, and 45 minutes is 150. And if you sign up for my free email newsletter, you'll get a discount just for signing up.
Oh, nice. Very
yeah.
nice.
So be sure to check that out and find me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, and you can check out on my blog at KarenAnderson.net. There's tons of stories like what I just shared with you and about the kitty using her shoes as a...
Nothing like a good infidelity story.
I know, huh? I never heard from her again. Go figure.
Yeah, well, I think she felt that the cats were going to tell her you way too much about her life.
Oh, yep.
Listen, thank you both. Robin, thank you so much. Karen.
You're welcome.
You guys rock. And we definitely got to reschedule you, Karen. I mean, the audience loves you. I love you. And, you know, I mean, I have Albert with me. I love the way you help people. I love being a facilitator of that as well. It's exquisite. It's exquisite to let people know that their animals are, you know, really a significant part of their experience. It's exquisite.
Right.
So I love you both. It has been an amazing birthday. I love my callers and my friends. Thank you, everybody, for participating. And I don't even know who's on next month because it's on the other side of the calendar. So, so everybody just have an amazing February. And catch everybody on Facebook, Robin Marvel, Karen Anderson, and Golden Hawk. We're all available on Facebook, and we'd all love to hear from you. Thank you, everybody. Have an amazing, amazing, amazing 2010. I know I'm going to. So thank you all. Have a good
night,
everybody.
Happy birthday,
Goldie. Thank you, Karen. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Robin, for being with me. Bye.